Welcome. My name is Divine. Welcome to episode 195 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons podcast. In today's podcast, we're going to be continuing our series on Exodus chapter 18. This is going to be part 6. Again, if you've missed out on the first 5 parts of this series, I will highly encourage you to go back and listen to them. There's a lot of really great lessons in Exodus 18 for believers. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and continue. So, the last place we stopped was, but select from all the people, some capable. I think we basically focused on that short part of verse 21. So, Exodus 18, verse 21, that was like 2 podcasts ago. And then, honest men, that was literally what we focused on in this last podcast. We talked about honesty and integrity and why it really, really matters. Okay. And then, so we're going to proceed, right? So what are characteristics of people that should be in leadership positions? The next part says, who fear God and hate bribes? Who fear God and hate bribes? Who fear God and hate bribes? Again, kind of goes along with that theme of honesty that we talked about. People that fear God and hate bribes. A person that fears God, fearing God does not mean that you're afraid of God. Fearing God means that you have a healthy respect for God. And that healthy respect compels you to not do things that are contrary to his will. That's what it means to fear God. That's the truth. You obey him because you love him, not because you're afraid of him. You just want to honor him so much that it doesn't even cross your mind that you want to do something that goes contrary to his will. That's what fearing God truly means. It's not a fear-based system, but it's a respect-based system. That's what the fear of God truly means. Many people either incorrectly understand or they incorrectly process what the fear of God means. Many people incorrectly process what the fear of God means. They're just like, I'm so afraid. I better not do this. If not, God is going to crush me and destroy me and everything. Where God wants you to get to is a point where you just really respect him. Like, are there people in your life where you just love them so much, you respect them so much, that you're not just going to go out of your way and just disrespect them, disobey them, or do things that you know will get them angry? That kind of respect that triggers godly action, that's what the fear of God truly is. That's literally what the fear of God truly is. So anyone you're appointing to a leadership position, and let me tell you this, all these characteristics I'm saying, anyone you want to appoint to a leadership position, to be honest with you, this is not just a characteristic of someone trying to be appointed to a leadership position, but this should actually be like your lifestyle. Like, these are things you want to try to become. Right? So fear God and hate bribes. That hate bribes part is very, very important. Very, very important, because there are many different ways you can test a man's character, but there are 3 ways. There's something I heard in a message, I believe it was few months or few years ago, that there are 3 things that you can use to test a man's character. 1 is money. 2 is power. 3 is sex. Those 3 things, money, power, and sex, it can reveal a man's true behavior. Hating bribes means, what do you do when you're offered money or you're offered some resource? The thing is, what you do in those moments can say a lot about your character. If a person is dishonest in the handling of money, that is not a person that should be appointed to a leadership position, because that person will subvert the cause of justice just for personal gain. If you see a person that is just always so interested in personal gain and they're willing to do anything to get there, that's not a person that should be appointed to a leadership position. That's a problem we see in many countries of the world. People getting into political positions just for personal gain. Oh, how can they line up their pockets with more money? How can they take advantage of more people? How can they increase or enlarge their empire because they've just been voted into office? So you got to be careful. And again, I want to throw this as a challenge to you. How do you handle money? Are you a person that can basically be bribed to do the wrong thing? That's not a person you want to be. And if you've made that mistake, I will encourage you to cry out to God for mercy.
right?
Are you the kind of person where money is the thing that just controls every decision that you make? Well, I need to money. You always look at the monetary aspect of things. You never look at the godly aspect of things, right? So God is saying that you want a person that hates bribes. You want to be a person that hates bribes. You don't want to be a person that accepts bribes to subvert the, you know, to do the wrong thing. Like you see some people, and a bribe is not always money. A bribe is not always money. To be honest with you, a bribe can be sex. You see some people, they're like, oh, I'm content with slipping my way to success. Or as long as I just open my legs for this person, I will get exactly what I want. And to be honest with you, I know some of you may be like, oh, these things are just things in movies. No, these are not just things in movies. These are things that actually happen. There are people that literally will open their legs so that they can get what they want, right? So if you're the kind of person that is willing to do anything, regardless of how much that leads to you disobeying God, if you're willing to do anything just to get to a certain point, you need to check your life. You have basically gotten the wrong kind of motivation. You see people to get ahead. And I'm saying this as someone that has seen people do the most very cutthroat things to get ahead. Medicine is a very competitive discipline. Getting into the right residency program, getting a very good job, getting in the good graces of some senior supervisor. People will do anything, literally, to get ahead. They will stab their mates in the back. They will open their legs for whatever, just to get in the good graces of someone, to get a good evaluation. But the thing is, let me tell you this. That bribe that you're giving, or that bribe that you're accepting, you may think that you're getting some benefit, but that benefit is temporary. That benefit is transient. That benefit is transient. But there will be some consequence in the future. There will be some repercussion in the future. That's one of those things you can pretty much take to the bank. That's the truth, right? It's something you need to settle in your heart, settle in your spirit that, see, this wrong path I took, there will be disaster in the end, right? There will be disaster in the end. So you just need to be careful, or you need to go back to God and ask for mercy, right? But collecting bribes or giving bribes is not of God. Is not of God. There are people these days that will literally do anything to get ahead. So I guess the big focus of today's podcast is this. What are you willing to do to get ahead? What are you willing to do to get ahead? Because many people believe that they can fast track their lives. Oh, let me do this. You know, every other person is doing it. Let me tell you this, brethren. The fact that every other person is doing something does not necessarily mean that it is the right thing to do. I'm going to say that again. The fact that every other person is doing something does not necessarily make it the right thing to do. There are many people that have done what other people did. And those other people, nothing bad may have happened to them. But you, the one person that did it, something bad happened to you. So just be careful. Just be careful. Just be careful. Don't be a sellout. You can get victories and get it cleanly. If the only method of getting a certain victory in a particular area of life involves playing the game wrong, involves disobeying God, then don't take that victory. It's better to accept that defeat and do the right thing than to claim victory and have done the wrong thing to be able to claim that victory. That's a tainted reward. That's a tainted victory. And again, it will not last. You may think, oh, wow, I've gotten this thing, but it will not last. I'm telling you this. This is something I've seen so many times in the world where a person was like, they did something bad. They got ahead, they moved to the next level. But then, not long after they were deposed, or not long after they were humiliated, or they lost something dear to them permanently on a permanent basis because of that thing, right? So I'll just encourage you, be careful. A bribe seems good. You know, oh, wow, I'm getting this money. Oh, wow, I'm getting this sex. Oh, wow, I'm getting this reward. But I'm telling you, it's just a smoke screen. There's future disaster in accepting bribes. There's future disaster in accepting bribes, right? Because I'm telling you this, the devil loves to make people do things on impulse. You know, accept a bribe and just let me just do this and move on. Get ahead. No. Count the cost of that getting ahead that you're trying to get ahead. Because again, there are some getting aheads that actually leads a person to disaster. The Bible says that there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. It seems right. It seems like, man, what could come of this? What could come of this bribe? But you're actually going in the way of death. So just be careful. I'm not saying this to scare anyone, But I'm just telling you the truth of the word of God, because that's literally what the word of God says, right? Don't be a person that is giving to accepting bribes. So I think I'm going to go ahead and pause here. Again, there's going to be a part seven of this. I believe in part seven, we're going to go to another principle, because really this verse 21, honestly, of Exodus 18, it's a very rich verse. There are so many things a person can pick up literally from verse 21. I don't want us to hurry through any of this. So I want us to go through it and learn the lessons that the Lord is trying to teach us. So again, what are you doing to get ahead? If you want to summarize this message, what are you doing to get ahead? What are you willing to do to get ahead? Are you willing to plead dirty to get ahead? Are you willing to disobey God to get ahead? Or in getting ahead in the past, have you disobeyed God? Well, let me tell you this. Christ is calling you back. The thing is, you may have screwed up. You may have sinned. You may say, man, I've already done so many bad things to get ahead. Or to get to my current position today, man, I have just really, really messed up. I have really, really screwed up. I mean, like a state of despair. Well, let me tell you this. God can accept you back. He can. He can. He can. The Bible says now is the time of salvation. Now is the accepted time. The wrong thing to do is to keep going down that bad road. No, you don't have to keep going down that bad road. You can stop now and make a U-turn. That's literally what repentance is. Repentance is literally making a turnaround. Making a turnaround. Making a turnaround. And let me tell you this. After you repent, go and sin no more. That's the commandment that Jesus Christ gave to many people in the New Testament. After he delivered them, after he cleaned them up, he said, see, you know what? Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Right? So God is willing to take you back, because the devil will tell you that, see, you're damaged goods. You think God will have mercy on you. You screwed up. You've messed up too bad. You might as well just continue. No, those are tricks of the devil. And let me tell you this, don't keep digging yourself into a deeper hole. You don't, right? Take that positive step of starting to climb back out of that hole. Because if you dig yourself into a deeper hole, it gets harder and harder for you to come back. That's what the devil likes to do. He likes to keep people deeper and deeper in trouble, deeper and deeper in trouble. He'll tell them, just one more time, it's not that bad. One more time, one more time, one more time. No, that one more time may take you to a part of the hole that you won't be able to extract yourself from anymore. Right? So go back to God. Cry out to God for mercy. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to rededicate your life back to God. If you've never given your life to Christ, I want you to come back to him. So just ask yourself, what have you done? What have you done in the past? Is this something you've done where you're like, man, in your heart, you're crying about it? Because I'm telling you this, there are some things that the world normalizes and says, oh, this is completely okay. It's not a big deal. I'll let it go. It's not that bad. Right? That's one thing the devil loves to do. The devil loves to minimize evil. Right? Like if you look at the book of Genesis, I believe it's chapter 3. When Eve was minimizing the consequences of Eve and Adam eating from that tree, from that forbidden tree. But man, after they ate from it, the consequences and repercussions were present and they were long lasting. That's what the devil will try to do. In fact, in the world, you see like certain things that are, the Bible clearly says, are sin. But the world just tries to minimize it. Oh, it's not a big deal. You know, having sex before marriage, it's not a big deal. Doing one sin or the other, it's not a big deal, right? The devil loves to make not a big deal out of things that actually are a big deal, right? The devil will not show you the risk. The devil is like a salesman that only shows you the benefits. He does not show you he only shows you the good side. He never shows you the risks. All he says are, oh, benefits, benefits, benefits. He never shows you the risks, but he will show you the risks after you've made the mistake, after you've made that purchase from him, right? Like Esau, when he was eating that morsel of bread, he literally gave up his birthright. He literally gave up his birthright, right? So again, just minimizing certain things. Like there are things you know, because I'm sure you've had the situation in your life where you've done something, and days later, minutes later, weeks later, months later, years later, you still have regret in your heart concerning that thing you've done. You still cry in your heart. There are sometimes you cry yourself to bed because of what you know you have done in the past, right? But let me tell you this. There is no situation that is beyond God's repair. God is willing to take you back. God is willing to set you free. If you just say this prayer after me and rededicate your life to God and take the steps that I'm going to tell you to take after you've said that prayer, then God will accept you back. And even if you've lived your life in a bad way so far, it does not mean that you cannot make a U-turn. It does not mean that God cannot create a glorious testimony from your life. Look at Apostle Paul. There was a time where he participated, where he supported the murder of Christians, the murder of believers. But God turned his life around. The God we serve is the architect of a divine turnaround. The God we serve is the architect of a comeback story. It is that same Paul that wrote about 60% of the New Testament. That tells you what can happen when you surrender your life back to God, when you return back to God and you ask him for mercy. So if you want to ask the Lord for mercy today, I want you to say this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I'm a sinner. I've screwed up. I've done things that don't please you. Have mercy on me. Save my soul. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe that you died on the cross to set me free from sin. Cleanse me with your blood. Come into my life and my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Write my name in the book of life. Give me a brand new beginning. Sanctify me with your blood and fill me with your Holy Spirit. And give me the grace to do your will all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And Father, I pray for those that have just surrendered their lives to you. Thank you, Lord, for your word that says that if any man comes to you, you will in no wise cast out. My Lord and my God, as they have come to you, please, Lord, receive them. And Lord, thank you for your word that also says there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. My Lord and my God, I pray that these people that have given their lives to you, they will no longer live their lives in guilt. They will no longer live their lives in shame. They will no longer live their lives in condemnation. And thank you, Lord, because your word says that your sins I will remember no more. My King and my God, thank you, Lord, for not remembering these sins. Thank you, Lord, for your deliverance. And Father, we pray for the grace to go and sin no more. And Father, I'm not just praying this for those that have given their lives to you, but I'm praying it for us as well, listening to this podcast. Lord, give us the grace not to try to get ahead at any cost. Give us the grace to take steps of righteousness. Even if it may mean losing in the eyes of the world, give us the grace to graciously accept that loss. But know that we are doing your will. Know that we are walking in your ways. Because doing your will, walking in your ways, can sometimes entail suffering. Give us the grace, Lord, to take that, carry that cross, and follow you, regardless of the cost, that your name might be exalted. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. We worship and exalt you, O God, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Now, for those that have just surrendered their lives to the Lord, there are three things you have to do. Number one, listen to episodes 96 to 101 on the website, 96 to 101. It's titled, The Five Basic Responsibilities of a Believer. It will tell you specific things you can do so that you can grow in your walk with God. Number two, find a Bible translation that you understand. For many people, the New Living Translation is pretty understandable. Read it, meditate on it. Think about what you've just read. Write down action steps that apply to your life and follow them. As you read the Word of God, as you study it, don't just read it in haste. Study it, understand it, meditate on it, and practice it. As you do that, you'll see your life take a turn for the better. And then the final thing you should do is find a Bible-believing church. Not a church, a Bible-believing church. There are many places that call themselves churches, and they do things that are completely contrary to the will of God. They preach things that are contrary to the will of God. You're like, oh, society says we should do this, right? Oh, this is the reigning thing in society, so that's what they do. No, you see them, they try to take the word of God and turn it around, right? You're like, oh, the word of God supports this kind of marriage, or the word of God supports this evil behavior. That's not a place you want to be, right? So be like the Berean Christians. After you hear something in church, go back to scripture and check. What does the word of God actually say about this? One, it actually deepens your understanding. But two, it can also expose fallacy that's out there, right? So study the word of God, obey it, spend time in a Bible-believing church, fellowshipping with other believers, keep doing God's will, and go and sin no more. And as you do so, the grace of the Lord, the peace of the Lord, and the help of the Lord will be with you. Until episode 196, have a wonderful weekend. God bless you. Shalom. Bye for now. Thank you.